Let's turn to Exodus chapter 2, but also let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. So both Exodus chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11. I understand that not all here today are mothers, not all women are mothers, but I do want to challenge you to take this message today to have an impact on children, whether they be your own or the children of others, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and so forth. As we look around the world today, we see a world that is, as you see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, knowing this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, and so forth. And we see that happening all around us. The influences upon children today, friends. Think about social media and the influence that social media has. Children now have phones, and they're looking at things, and they're reading messages, and they're getting all kinds of influences from everywhere. TV, the influence of TV, the influence of music, ungodly music, materialism, the educational system, and so forth. All of these things are countering the efforts of concerned parents to raise children that will honor God. But Satan's schemes to win our children, and here's the good news, can be counteracted. Regardless of how bad the world is, his schemes can be counteracted, among other things, by the impact of a mother's faith. That word counteract means to oppose by contrary action. The opposition that, and my challenge is to mothers today, the opposition that you can put out there is not with sword and with some kind of weapon other than faith. The shield of faith. The world has always impacted children. But that has always been counteracted by mothers with a strong faith in God. Paul said to Timothy, young Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You see, Timothy had a Greek father, but he was reared to come to know Christ as his Savior by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. The impact of a faithful mother. Now, if you're there in Hebrews chapter 11, let's read, and I'm skipping a verse to start with. You're probably wondering why I'm starting with verse 24, but we'll get to that. Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 29, by faith Moses. Now, this is talking about the faith of Moses himself. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. Talking about the faith of this man, Moses. But where did he get his faith? You know, Moses was a man of faith. And his story is loved by all, young and old. But his faith was preceded by someone else's faith. And this is the crux of what I want you to see this morning. It's found in verse 23, the verse that I skipped. By faith, Moses. Now, right off the top, you're thinking, well, that's Moses' faith. But wait a second, what are the next four words? So was this Moses' faith or the faith of somebody else? Obviously, this is the faith of his parents, was hid 3 months of his parents. In other words, they had the faith to hide him because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So verse 23 gives us the faith of his parents. It is no accident. This man grew to be a man of faith. Faithful children is not by accident. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But notice the first few words of verse 1. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What is that cloud? I believe the cloud are the witnesses of chapter 11. Those people mentioned in chapter 11. And included in that great cloud of witnesses is a mother. Her husband's name is Amram. Her name? Jochebed. Her name is mentioned twice in the Bible, Exodus 6:20 and Numbers 26:59, and it means Jehovah is glory. Her unshakable faith in God with her husband placed them in the hall of faith of Hebrews chapter 11. Without her faith, there would have been no child drawn out of the water by the daughter of Pharaoh, whom she named Moses. Otherwise unknown, God used a faithful mother by the name of Jochebed. And God will use you. Ladies, he will use you. As a mother, as a grandmother, as somebody who adopts a child. Whether or not you're prominent, whether you're known by name to man, if you will recognize the importance of trusting the Lord and depending upon him as Jochebed did. When Aaron and Miriam were born, apparently there was no decree by Pharaoh. But Moses, born later, is under the Exodus 1 verse 22 edict. He is to be killed. And against that horrible decree, we see the counteracting impact of a mother's faith in God. First of all, look at verse 2, and we see there a faithful mother's refusal. Verse 2 says, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Jochebed saw he was a goodly child. Hebrews 11, 23, which we also read, says he was a proper child. It literally means he was a beautiful child. Now, is that the only reason she spared his life? Did she wait until the child was born and go, okay, hey, this one's worth keeping? Does it imply that she would have exposed him to those who would have killed him if it was otherwise? Well, we're helped by a translation of another passage that talks about this. Go with me to Acts chapter 7 and look at verse 20. Stephen is preaching his sermon, and notice what he says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20. And I'm going to do a literal translation of this verse after I read what we have here in the King James. Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. A literal translation has it this way. He was very beautiful to God. Your Bible may even have a note that says that. He was a beautiful child, was beautiful to God. In other words, she recognized in her child what every mother would see in her own child. This child is beautiful to God. That, by the way, is one of the reasons abortion is so egregious. Every child is beautiful to God. And for this child, God had a special plan. You know, Jesus made it very clear that all children are precious to God. He said, if you offend one of these, it were better for you that a millstone were hung around your neck and you were cast into the sea. To how many people would that apply today? You know what a millstone is, folks? Do you know how big a millstone is? What is a millstone made out of? Obviously, a stone. Those millstones, I've got a picture of myself beside one in Israel, and that stone is as tall as I. probably weighs a ton or two. It is better if you offend one of these to have that hung around your neck and have somebody cast you into the sea. As Dr. Custer said, you would tend to sink rather quickly. It was a time of severe persecution and tribulation. It was fearful to go against the king's command. This king was mighty. But God is almighty. She refused to follow the will of a wicked king and resolved to follow the will of God. While Pharaoh is working to exterminate the Israelites, God is working to emancipate them. And it began, think about it, with a mother's faith. Refusing to permit her child to be thrown into the river. Two things about this faith, a faithful mother's refusal, verse 2, but two things about this. Number one, this kind of faith disobeys. You say, we're always supposed to obey. No, this faith disobeys. She refused to obey the king because her priority is to obey God. You'll read this in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. The apostle said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Folks, anytime man decrees that you do something that goes against what God's word says, you disobey. You do not do what man says if it clearly goes against what God says. Even while others were giving in, she disobeyed. By the way, Stephen's sermon in Acts 7:19 indicates the practice of many parents was to, quote, cast out their young children to the end they might not live due to the fear of the king's edict. Her faith was in God despite the decree. And men today decree that life in the womb is nothing more than a fetus and the mother has a choice. And if the child interferes with her plans, just abort the child. Moses certainly interfered with Jochebed's plans. It actually put her in danger. People talk about the life of the mother. What about the life of this mother? And yet she, by faith, delivered him and hid him. Talk about sleepless nights. The decree of the king today is that Bible methods are outdated and thus never spank your child. But listen, a mother who is swayed by faith in God and not by public opinion will love her child as the Bible says to love your child. And we'll realize that the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. She will understand what it says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. We fear men when we allow their opinions and pressures to turn us away from the right conduct by fearing God. Her faith disobeyed. Her faith, secondly, disregards. Two things she disregards in her faith. Number one, suffering. She hid him. Think about it. For 3 months, when most mothers would be enjoying their newborns, she had to squelch his natural crying. Imagine the terror every time she heard the footprints of somebody, perhaps a soldier, walking by. Maybe even having nightmares of somebody snatching her baby and envisioning him being cast into the filthy water of the Nile. She disregards the suffering. She disregards the success. The possibilities of success are remote. The odds are stacked against her. I can't do this forever. What am I going to do? Sometimes our faith is inactive because the outcome seems impossible. But faith sees what we can't see with the physical eye. And today, it takes faith to raise a child in this evil society. Well, it's no use trying to raise a God-fearing child in this evil society. That's no statement of a faithful mother. So here we have, in verse 2, a faithful mother's refusal. Now verses 3 and 4, a faithful mother's release. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. It was an act of faith to hide him for 3 months, but that was no longer possible. She didn't abandon hope, and she did not abandon her child. People think that she put this child in the river and said goodbye. That's not necessarily what happened here. It could have been that between feedings, she would take the child, put him there, and then rescue him later. Miriam's there to watch, to bring him back. She released him completely into God's care and providence. The same river, by the way, which was the instrument of death to many Hebrew children, is the same which saved this baby. And yet it was not the river which was merciful. The ancient Egyptians worshipped the Nile River. It was God, in whom she placed her faith. It takes quite a bit for a mother to release a child to God's care. Many of you have had mothers who released you into God's care. Regardless of the emotional turmoil, disregarding her own dreams for this little baby, and a faithful mother will encourage a child to go on in the Lord's work. To marry that girl who's not rich, and yet she's spiritual, who is willing to release him to the mission field rather than, you know, we'll release him to the ball field, but not to the mission field. And yet God gives back when we give to him. You find that to be true with Moses, and you find that to be true with Samuel and Hannah. That when you release to God and dedicate to God what belongs to him, he gives it right back. A faithful mother's release. And then we see in verses 5 through 10, and we don't need to read all these verses except for verse 10 because that's the one verse we didn't read. But here we see the faithful mother's reward. Let's read verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Notice the physical reward that we read of here. The child was restored initially back to Jochebed. There's Miriam standing on the banks ready to bring the baby home. And then, oh no, Pharaoh's daughter, she hears, Moses, don't cry. And he's crying. Now what am I going to do? And Pharaoh's daughter opens. Her heart is touched. Miriam goes up to her. And I believe God gives her the words. Would you like me to find a nurse for him? One of the Hebrew mothers? Oh, that would be great. So Miriam brings the child home that day, as maybe she was doing anyway, and told her mom the story. But mom, you get to continue nursing. And Pharaoh's daughter's going to pay for it, by the way. Notice a faithful mother's reward. The child is restored to her physically. What God gave, what she gave to God, God gives back with, well, look at it in verse 9, with wages. Now she is paid to raise her own child. Here the decree of God overrides the decree of Pharaoh. You see, God is behind the scenes ordering everything to happen his way, even having Pharaoh's daughter there at that particular moment, at that particular place. God guided the current to take the ark where it should be. God so orchestrated everything for his will to be done. For 3 months, by faith, she had hid this child. So there's the physical reward, but then there's also the spiritual reward, because the reward goes further than just the physical. The mother who refused the influence of the world had a son who also had a faith that refused. What she refused by allowing her child to be given up, now it's no wonder that Moses has a faith that refuses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It doesn't happen by accident. Moses' mother must have done all she could, listen, with the short time she knew she had to teach Moses the most important things. Folks, think about it. If you knew that you had perhaps 8 years, I don't know how old Moses was. When in verse 10 it says, the child grew and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. But I would probably imagine this is right after he was weaned or soon thereafter. And she realizes in the time intervening, I have a short time. There is a short window for me to have an impact on my child's life. He's going to go live in the courts of Pharaoh. He's going to go live in the midst of debauchery and wickedness. If you knew you had just a short time, what would you teach your kids? I've thought of that. What would you teach them? I think it was Vladimir Lenin, who said, you give me the children up to age 4 and I'll have them. I have them. And now what are they wanting to do here in Colorado? They want to have your kids go into some daycare from the very beginning. Don't ever doubt what is really behind all that. The sooner they can have an influence on your children, the sooner they're going to be able to brainwash them and indoctrinate them with the wickedness that they're trying to teach the kids in elementary school. She must have spent most of her time on his character. Little Moses, come here. Let me tell you about your people. Let me tell you a story. There was a man by the name of Abraham. She teaches him about Abraham. There was a man by the name of Isaac. There was a man by the name of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. There's 12 tribes. Those are the 12 sons of Jacob. And God allowed us to come here into Egypt to sustain us in the midst of famine. But one day God's going to bring us out. He's going to deliver us. She must have spent most of her time on his character as it related to the history of his people. But more than that, who God is. Teaching him about God. For somehow, you'll read this in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. Moses knew, he knew what the Lord was saying to him. Look at verse chapter 3 and verse 6. He said, I am the God of thy fathers. This is when in the burning bush, God is speaking to Moses. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. I believe he knew who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. And he had strong convictions with whom he would identify, Hebrews 11, 24. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, on Mother's Day, Moses would not be sending cards to Pharaoh's daughter. He was sending cards to Jochebed, his mother of faith. You instill a God-fearing faith in your child, and he will refuse to be called the son of Hillary's village, the son of the public school system, the son of some godless revolution. He will instead proudly say, I am the son of my mother who demonstrated to me what Jochebed means. Jehovah is glory. And it goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 11, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What reward awaits a faithful mother? Their children will also live, not for the pleasure of the day, but for the reward of God's promises, which are future. But note in Hebrews 11, 24, he didn't refuse until he was come to years. In other words, when he had grown up. And it's natural for a mother to be concerned that her child is going to turn out right. I hope my children turn out right. But if a mother is fretting and worrying about that, Could it be because she's not rearing her children biblically? And thus cannot rear confidently with faith in God? It is the Proverbs 31 woman who, according to verse 30, feareth the Lord. She's the one who has the promise. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and she shall be praised. Somebody once said that though godly parents cannot pass on their faith as they do family traits, they can certainly create an atmosphere of faith at home and be examples to their children. A home should be the first school of faith for a child. God used a member of the family of this wicked Pharaoh to save the one who would ultimately be used of God to thwart all of his wicked devices and decrees. Not only was the child delivered, but the mother's faith was rewarded by return of her son to her, and an entire nation was later wonderfully, miraculously delivered due to the faith of, humanly speaking, one mother. One child was spared and became the one that God used to deliver a nation, to write 5 books of the Bible, including Exodus, that includes his own story. Slaves were uneducated, but God sends this lawgiver to school. Because we read in Acts 7:22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds up until he was 40 years old. And it says in Acts 7:23, and when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now, compare that full 40 years old with Exodus 2:11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. That's when he began to act. 40 years of training. All expenses paid by the Pharaoh who otherwise would have killed him. How God takes the wrath of man and turns it to his own glory. Here's the counteracting impact of one mother's faith in God. She refused the will of man. She released her child to God, and she enjoyed the reward of her faithfulness. And folks, I believe that in eternity, we're going to learn of mothers who on this earth may have been really obscure, including my mom, who, like Jochebed, had a faith that preceded and prepared the faith of their better known children. Mothers, your children will trust what or who you trust. Jochebed had a demonstrated faith, not just a spoken faith. She demonstrated it. Your children will trust what you trust. Moses put his faith in the God his mother put her faith in when he was just 3 months old.